From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Gross.
An increasingly rare and hard-to-come-by victory for religious freedom took place in our state this week. The debate around the death penalty returned to the state capitol, and should a civics test be a prerequisite for high school graduation in Nebraska? Perhaps Supreme Court nominee Judge Neil Gorsuch can provide the answer. Welcome to Capitol Connection. Perhaps no issue is as polarizing today in our society as religious freedom, yet our state legislature was able to find common ground around the issue of religious liberty and protecting the First Amendment rights of teachers. LB 62 passed through final reading this past week and will now be sent to the governor to be signed into law. This is a really important bill for a number of reasons, and all it does is actually repeal an existing law. Nebraska is one of two remaining states in the whole country to have a law that places an outright ban on any teacher wearing any form of religious dress or garb. And that might sound good in principle, because certainly we don't want religious beliefs being forced on students, but we also don't want teachers who aren't forcing anything on anyone to have to abandon their faith and not be allowed to follow the tenets of their faith when they show up for work. And so currently Nebraska has a law that has a ban on religious dress or garb in the classroom, and LB 62 repeals that. And that's important, because what the current law does is it actually favors non-religion over religion, which is clearly unconstitutional and a clear violation of teachers' First Amendment rights. And it's also important to note that it still leaves schools the ability to set their own dress code and have policies on what's okay and what isn't for teachers to wear. So this was an important step towards advancing religious freedom in our state, and it seems more and more, no matter what the bill does, if it has to do with religious freedom, it will be attacked and shot down. But that wasn't the case here. The bill actually passed through final reading on a 39-5 vote and now awaits a signature from Governor Ricketts. And it gives us the ability to remember and talk about the importance of religious freedom, not just for one person or one group of people, but for all. Because truly, when we protect the First Amendment rights and religious freedom for everyone, we protect our own. And that should certainly apply to our many great men and women who teach for a living. And we want to make sure that their First Amendment rights are protected as well. And that's what this bill, LB 62, accomplishes. It was introduced by actually the Speaker of the Legislature, Senator Scheer, because very recently, the current law with the ban was actually used to prevent a Catholic nun from obtaining a teaching position in Norfolk, and that same current law could also be applied to something as simple as a cross necklace. Any outright ban on religion is really totalitarian in nature and should be rejected, and thankfully, that's what the state legislature is recognizing by passing this bill. And it caused some discussion, not surprisingly, on the separation of church and state and the issue of state endorsing religion in the classroom. But that's not what the bill is about, plain and simple. The right to live and work according to your beliefs is the core tenet of religious freedom, and teachers don't forfeit that right when they arrive for work, and no one should have to abandon their faith when they walk out their door because of their profession. And under the current law, the penalty for any teacher wearing something that would indicate that they adhere to a certain religion is actually punishable by fine, jail time, and ultimately termination. And I don't think anyone thinks that good Nebraskans should have their jobs and their livelihood threatened because of peacefully expressed religious beliefs. This is our first freedom for a reason that all are entitled to exercise and should not be forcibly abandoned by the state at the schoolhouse gate. And courts have ruled across the country correctly that the reasonable observer would not consider a teacher's religious dress to be the state's endorsement of a religion. The state can still remain religiously neutral and simultaneously avoid trampling over the First Amendment rights of teachers. And that's what was accomplished this week by passing LB 62. I was surprised to learn that we even had this law still on the books. It sounds like something we would expect from somewhere like Russia or North Korea, the state just outright banning anything that has to do with religion. And clearly, we don't want teachers to just have the freedom to disrupt or lead their class in religious prayers or practices or teachings that are not part of the school curriculum. But repealing that current law through LB 62 doesn't allow this. It is specifically tailored to religious dress only. And we will never win the culture wars inside the classroom or out by just silencing every other viewpoint, which under the current law includes our own. And when those of us who identify as Christians or believers allow the government to pick whose freedoms are recognized, we undermine our own religious liberties. Which is why I was encouraged to see that this bill had so much broad support and was able to make it through each of the three rounds of voting in our state legislature. So this was a great opportunity to not just continue to protect and advance religious freedom, but continue having the conversation about why that is so important, because under the Obama administration, First Amendment rights really began to deteriorate for both individuals, private citizens, and businesses and nonprofits, groups who willingly serve our communities and the most vulnerable, who make that decision to serve those in need because of their faith and the core tenets of what they believe in. And hopefully, because of instances like this and a new administration, we'll start to see a resurgence of understanding the right to both live and work according to your beliefs. That's what religious freedom is about. And another hot issue that was back in the state capitol, somewhat surprisingly after voters turned out overwhelmingly this past election, was the death penalty. Voters, of course, reinstated the death penalty after the legislature passed a bill to repeal the death penalty in Nebraska, but that did not deter Senator Ernie Chambers from bringing back that same bill again to repeal the death penalty in Nebraska. We had a committee hearing in our Judiciary Committee last week on that bill where Senator Chambers at least tried to explain why he was right and the citizens of Nebraska who voted on that issue were wrong, and why senators should once again vote to repeal the death penalty. And it was an emotional, intense hearing, to say the least. There was actually a testifier who was there who lost a loved one who was actually murdered by an inmate who is currently on death row. And she called out the state senators for how they reacted last year upon successfully voting to override the governor's veto of the death penalty repeal. And they were celebrating and hugging and cheering. And that's unusual. No matter how emotional the issue or tough it might have been to get a victory in their minds on the floor, that's typically not a scene that you see actually taking place on the floor of the state legislature, state senators celebrating a bill either passing or being defeated. And she called them out on it. She said that she was just incredibly offended by that. And I think some of the senators didn't quite know what to do with that. And so the committee has yet to take any action on that bill. That would really be something if they voted to advance that bill out of committee, and they won't get to it this year. We're on the back half of the legislative session, and we're only going to get priority bills the rest of the year, and that's not a bill that has been prioritized. But if it does get out of committee, we're looking at next year having a full debate in the legislature on repealing the death penalty. Lawmakers will also now have to consider new limits on lobbyists, thanks to our own Drain the Swamp initiative being sponsored by Senator John Keene of Hartwell, who is sponsoring a number of bills to place limits on lobbyists, saying that if you have to have someone stand behind the glass for the entire 90 days of the session to have your voice heard, we have a problem. He's trying to go directly at the issue of outside influence on our state legislature. One such bill that Senator Keene is sponsoring would prohibit political subdivisions, such as school districts or cities, from using tax dollars to pay for lobbyists. And he also has another bill that would require elected state officials to wait at least 2 years before registering as lobbyists, trying to curb outside lobbyist interests, which is sometimes referred to as the third house. And perhaps that third house has too much influence. Of course, Nebraska is famous for just having our unicameral, just one house, and the people of Nebraska are supposed to be the second house, but unfortunately, oftentimes it's that third house, the outside special interest groups that come in and are the ones that have the most impact on our state policymakers and the decisions that they make for the entire state. So we'll see how the state legislature chooses to handle that issue and these efforts to place new limits on lobbyists moving forward. We should always look for ways to preserve honesty and integrity in politics and amongst our policymakers. And if you're looking for integrity and honesty in real estate, call the Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate Team, whether you are buying a new home, selling your current home, or dreaming of building your next house. The Bill Black team is here to help. Let the Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate team put their strategic marketing plan, extraordinary track record, and team of dedicated real estate pros to work for you. They have an incredible team of well-trained professionals who know the area well and are ready to help you if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate. So call the Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate team at 402-680-2500. Whatever your real estate needs, call the Bill Black team, 402-680-2500. You know those late night TV sketches, man on the street sketches, where the host or someone from the show goes out on the street and will stop random people and then ask them basic current event questions or something about American history or our politics or policies or the Constitution, and they either don't know the answer or they just give an answer that's completely ridiculous and you're left scratching your head wondering how in the world people don't know the answers to these questions or graduated from high school or allowed to vote for that matter. Well, there are a few state senators in our legislature who want to do something about that. Senator Crist and Senator Brosh are both sponsoring proposals to require civics testing in all Nebraska school districts, which actually received a thumbs-up approval from the State Education Association. The measures are a less restrictive rewrite of a bill that was introduced last year, which would have required high school students to actually pass the civics portion of the U.S. citizenship test before receiving their diplomas. However, the bill this year wouldn't make it a requirement or a prerequisite for graduation and would instead give public school districts and private schools more control over how and when students are tested on civics and what the requirements would be. And this new amended proposal was unanimously endorsed by the State Board of Education and is also backed by groups representing a majority of the state's teachers and local school boards. And I think that's because more and more we're starting to see the consequences and have to face the reality that students aren't leaving our schools knowing much of anything about American history, our Constitution, and the laws and policies that we abide by and have allowed our country to flourish for years. And that's obviously a problem. So virtually everyone who testified during the hearing on these bills agreed that we need to do a better job of teaching our youth how to properly understand civics and American history. I think the rise of political correctness has caused the equal decline in patriotism. We have to make sure we get it right, what we're teaching our youth and our kids about America and our country and civics and the fundamental belief that our rights come from God and not from man, which is what fundamentally has made America a different nation than any other country in the history of the world. We have to make sure that we keep getting this right. And who's getting it right in the vehicle maintenance industry is Walker Tire and Auto. Walker Tire and Auto Service has been serving Omaha customers for over 6 decades. Visit Walker Tire and Auto and get the Walker Tire Advantage, where you get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. Visit Walker Tire and Auto at any one of their 4 convenient locations, 144th and Harrison, 84th and Dodge, 89th and L, and 140th and Center. Whatever your vehicle needs, visit Walker Tire and Auto, who will always go the extra mile for you. Thankfully, someone who gets all of this, the importance of the rule of law and the Constitution and our Bill of Rights, is Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Neil Gorsuch. This is so important. So many people, I think, voted for Donald Trump for this reason. They weren't just voting for president, they were voting for the Supreme Court, knowing that whoever fills that vacant seat on the Supreme Court is going to have a lasting legacy that will help shape the Supreme Court and the laws in our country and consequentially our culture for decades to come. And so I'm going to play a clip of an exchange from the confirmation hearing of Judge Gorsuch between himself and our own United States Senator Ben Sasse, when Senator Sasse asked Gorsuch for an overview in his understanding of the Bill of Rights. Take a listen.
I ran into three different teachers who planned to use these hearings on C-SPAN to teach civics. I wonder if you could help those teachers explain, as one of them asked me, about why we have a Bill of Rights. To remind the American people, the Constitution's a negative document. It is not the government giving us freedoms. It is us giving the government a limited set of enumerated powers. And originally there was no Bill of Rights. And as a part of a compromise, we added one. Today, most people, when they think about our Constitution, think of the Bill of Rights first. Why do we have a Bill of Rights? And what fundamental difference would it make if we didn't have one?
That's a big question. For us adults?
Chairman said I could have an extra hour, so take your time.
Yeah, I've got 4 minutes and 19 seconds on that. That's a big question for us adults. Who are where we are? It's a big question for my middle school and high school age kids. The Constitution, as a negative document, the theory behind it, in short order, was to divide liberty, to divide power, the better to protect liberty. That's the theory. That you put all power in one set of hands, you're going to get tyranny. And our founders had too much evidence of that in their own time. It's kind of a hard-won inheritance. Part Enlightenment theory, right? Part on the battlefield. They saw what it was like to have power amalgamated in one set of hands. Dangerous. So they divided it. They divided it three ways in our federal system. You, Article One, write the laws. And it's tough. It's supposed to be tough to protect liberty. We don't just have one house. We have two houses. And then it has to be signed by the president, too. Really hard. Bicameralism and presentment is designed to make legislation difficult, the better to protect liberty. The president's powers are to execute the laws, not make them, not adjudicate disputes. Our role is to decide cases and controversies between the people under law as it is, not as we'd wish it to be. We're not legislators. We're judges. The legislative power is invested in this body. That's not all. Then we divide power in a way that was quite unique. Well, unusual. Federalism. So you can think of separation of powers as having a horizontal access and a vertical access, so that the federal government has certain enumerated powers and authorities. And what the federal government doesn't enjoy, the states do as sovereigns. This country as well, we have tribes, which also bear sovereignty in our part of the world and bear recognition as such. I'm glad to have the opportunity to recognize that fact here as a Westerner. So we have the separation of powers between horizontally, vertically. And that wasn't thought enough to protect liberty. The drafters of the Constitution, many of them thought that that would be more than sufficient, that that, in fact, was the main way to preserve liberty. But our founders were very suspicious and very jealous of their liberties. So they added the Bill of Rights. And they enumerated 10 of them, as you know, starting with the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, no establishment of religion, right to bear arms, the Third Amendment, which I'm glad we don't litigate much. I wonder how many of the high school kids now watching know what the Third Amendment's about. Go look it up.
That was Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch having an exchange about the Bill of Rights with Senator Ben Sasse at his confirmation hearing. And by the way, the Third Amendment places restrictions on the quartering of soldiers without the homeowner's consent. But what we just heard from Judge Gorsuch is someone with an extreme depth of understanding of the Constitution, of the Bill of Rights, and he showed just tremendous legal skill and commitment to the rule of law throughout his entire confirmation hearing. He was extremely gracious and knowledgeable and well-spoken throughout. He defended religious liberty unapologetically for all. And most importantly, he showed a true commitment to the law and the Constitution and not any political party. So, how do the Democrats respond? By, of course, announcing that they will filibuster his appointment, which I think, honestly, is a welcome mistake. Gorsuch is a lock. He is well-respected by people on both sides of the aisle. He is overly qualified for the position. So essentially what we've seen now already through these hearings for Judge Gorsuch is the Democrats' entire playbook for future nominees. They'll know exactly what kind of questions that they will face in their own hearing and what they'll have to go up against. And now if they are successful in holding up the appointment of Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, and Republicans are forced to take the nuclear option to reduce take away the filibuster and reduce the number of votes that are needed for a successful appointment to just a simple majority, they'll do it to get their guy, Judge Gorsuch, and then they'll already have made the necessary change to get the next Supreme Court justice, which is what the real fight is going to be, which is why I'm almost surprised that the Democrats are filibustering this appointment. One, because Judge Gorsuch is obviously so qualified, but also that they're willing to expend that option of the filibuster, trying to stop his appointment when it is very likely that President Trump will get at least one more shot at getting someone of his choice on the Supreme Court. And it's important to remember that the balance of the court isn't shifting here at all with Judge Gorsuch. It's just remaining exactly where it was with Justice Scalia. So now we're just filling in someone who is very much aligned with Justice Scalia's beliefs and interpretation of the Constitution, keeping the balance of the Supreme Court where it was. So the real fight and the real ideological shift to the Supreme Court, the one that could change a lot of laws, is the next one. And so if they're successful in stopping the appointment of Judge Gorsuch, which they won't be, they're certainly not helping themselves for the next one. But I am confident Judge Gorsuch will wind up being appointed to the United States Supreme Court. There's no reason he shouldn't be, and America will be better for it. The state legislature will re-adjourn on Tuesday, where they'll pick up with speaker and committee priority bills. They will also now move to full-day debates. Committee hearings are now finished for the year, meaning instead of just meeting in the mornings and breaking for committee hearings in the afternoon, they will have the entire day solely dedicated to debating the bills that have advanced from committee and been prioritized by a state senator. This has already been an extremely unprecedented and fascinating year, and that's only going to continue to build as the state legislature will very soon start tackling some of these major issues and important bills that have been prioritized by state senators. I'll keep you apprised of everything you need to know about what's going on at our state capitol and how it will affect you and your family. Thank you again to the sponsors of the show. For all your real estate needs, call the Bill Black CBS Home Real Estate Team at 402-680-2500. And for all your vehicle service and maintenance needs, visit Walker Tire and Auto Service. As always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org for everything you need to know going on about family, freedom, and life in Nebraska and how you can get involved and make a difference here in our state. I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.